We're going to continue with our exile series. We're going to be looking at 1 Peter. And to kind of work up into this, it actually worked out really well. I didn't get to the last couple of verses last week, and it actually fits to help us kind of get into this this morning a little bit better. But verses 11 and 12. Of chapter 2, just to kind of remind us of the purpose of the letter, the purpose that Peter is writing. He kind of says it again here. He says, "Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. Keep your conduct among the Gentiles honorable, so that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day of visitation." So I want us to notice here again that Peter is once again reminding the church, he's reminding us as Christians, hey, I urge you to remember that you're exiles. I urge you, I mean, this word of urging is, he's like, pay attention to this. Don't lose sight of this. This is not your home. This is not what life is all about, building the best life here. He's like, this is just temporary. Once again, he's urging them, remember, you are exiles. You're aliens and strangers in the world. And he's one of the ways to kind of think about this as Christians is there are times where, you know, if I were to go to a foreign country that's completely different than what I'm used to, man, I'm going to feel out of place. I'm going to feel completely out of place and awkward because that is not my home. I am technically a stranger there. That is what God is telling us through Peter. That's how, as Christians, we should feel in this world. We should just feel out of place. That is not a bad thing. That is actually a very good thing, to feel out of place in this world, because again, my citizenship is not here. My citizenship is in eternity. It's in the kingdom of God. It's in the presence of God, and he's reminding us of that. And he's reminding, saying, remember that you're exiles, because if we forget that, then the passions of our flesh, right, that's waging against us, it's going to pull us in a direction that God doesn't desire for us. The passions of our flesh will drag us to be more like the world versus like Christ, like we're called to be. He's reminding us. That's the whole point of this letter, is to tell the church and remind them, you are aliens and strangers. You are exiles. And he goes on, and he's basically telling us, realize, though, that we live in the world, and the world is watching us. As Christians, the world is watching us. And he's talking about, make sure your conduct in the world is honorable, because they're watching. And I love how he throws this in there, because it's one of those parts of the Bible where you're like, well, that's great to know. When he says, so that when they speak evil against you, or they speak that you are an evildoer, just realize that that's something that we're going to have to deal with as Christians, because when we live different than the world's not going to understand it, and they're going to look at you like you're strange. And they're going to speak against the way that we live and the way that we choose to obey God and follow after his word and follow after his glory. And he's saying the world is watching. And as the world is watching, something is going to happen. Either God is going to use us, as the world is watching in on us, to bring glory to himself, because he can use our lives and how we choose to live as a way that brings people into a relationship with him. Or there will come a day when we all stand before God and everyone will give glory to God, whether they are a child of his or not. Remember, the Bible says there will come a day that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. And we're called by our lives because people are watching. I mean, I've had these experiences, and this is, listen, I don't have this kind of road rage, but I've seen it. Don't you ever love it? Have anybody had the experience where you see the person with the religious bumper sticker that's like driving around honking at everybody and flipping them off and all that? It's like the world is watching us. The world is watching us in our jobs and in school and in our communities and all of that. The world is watching. And Peter's reminding us of that. He's saying, listen, live as exiles because the world is watching. And then when he gets into verse 13, he starts talking about ways that we can live that bring glory to God because the world is watching. And the first thing he starts talking about is probably one of our, everybody here's favorite topics, And that's submission to authority. How many pre-read the scripture before today? A handful of you? See, read ahead. Because you probably would have read it and be like, oh, this is going to be fun. Because Paul, or Peter, hits some very deep, deep stuff. He calls us. God speaks through him and calls us as exiles to submit to authority. This is not going to be a complicated message. It's pretty straightforward in the Bible. Peter is not making some hard-to-understand statements. It's not complicated. Oh, but it's going to be difficult. It's going to be extremely difficult. Even preparing for this sermon, there were several times where my own desire to not submit to authority would find I was constantly questioning, but what about, but what about, but what about, in my own head. This is not complicated, but it is extremely difficult. Because submission is completely contrary to the human being. As a human being, we all struggle to submit to authority. We all do it in some way. In fact, if you stop and think about it, as Americans, this is extremely difficult for us. Because, listen to me, our whole identity as a nation is birthed out of rebellion. And I'm not saying that bad, I'm just saying as Americans, that's our, every 4th of July, we are celebrating. We don't take crap from nobody. I mean, that's what we're celebrating every 4th of July. So as Americans, we are ingrained with this idea of pushing back on authority and testing the limits of authority and celebrating when people do push back on authority and saying, yes, that's what we're called to do, is push back on authority. And then we read Peter's words, and he's calling us to submit to human authority. And we wrestle with that. At one point in time this week, and I'll give you just a small example of how this is so ingrained in us. And while I was kind of reading through this and writing down some notes, I had the TV on, and I was watching Top Gun Maverick, right? And as I was watching it, I'm sitting here, and like God just showed me how much that we appreciate people that push back on authority, because that entire movie is based on a character that pushes back on authority, right? Every time we celebrate, if you haven't seen the movie, every time there's parts in the movie that I'm like, yeah, this is awesome, is when he's basically telling people over him, I'm going to do what I want. You know, if you've seen the original Top Gun, one of the favorite parts of it has always been when he likes to do the flybys. Remember the flyby? Flyby was basically telling authority, I'm going to do whatever I want. And we celebrate that. We say that's what it's meant to be a free human being, is to push back on authority and test the limits. And some of us might be sitting here saying, like, yeah, I can't stand authority. I don't like authority in any way. And I always find ways to push back, because we think it's our job to keep authority responsible. Like, I need to push back because I'm keeping you in your place. So we think that we don't like authority, but here's the thing. We need authority in life. Let me give you a thought that I have when it comes to authority. The girls were younger, you know, and they like to play games, and they do this still now. Here's the thing. Whenever the girls go to play together, and they're going to play something that does not have clear rules, Amy and I will always look at each other. I give it 5 minutes. 5 minutes, and this will be done. Here's why. If there are not clear rules, all of a sudden, they're both fighting for authority on who's going to make the rules, right? Whenever I used to play games with Piper, Piper was famous at this. Piper is excellent at making up games and changing the rules constantly throughout the game, right? Like, you know, she can tell you this is what the rule is, but as soon as it goes against her, she's changing the rules. Her games are chaos. There needs to be authority, a clear set of this is what we're going to follow. Imagine being in a city that has no governing authorities. It would be absolute chaos. We talk about veterans and those that served in the military. They understand authority. chains of command. Could you imagine? I definitely have comfort knowing that our military has a chain of authority. Because if not, the moment we need them the most, they wouldn't be there. But there's an understanding of the need of authority and submitting to that authority. Every time I get in my car, I am thankful that everyone else on the road is following the authority that the yellow line or white, the lines in the middle of the road tell them to stay on their side. Right? So we can sit here and say we don't want authority, but authority is necessary for life to function. So now here's a main idea I want us to have as we process through this morning. And it's simply this. Our submission to human authority is based on our submission to God's authority. See, as we talk through this, and we talk through what Peter says to us and the command he's given to us, and we start thinking about the authorities that we submit to, where I want us to start is, I want us to look past the human authority, and I want us to see that the reason that we submit to human authority is because we're ultimately submitting to God's authority. It's not about the human institution. It's about God. And it's about us choosing to live as exiles, living the way God wants us to live. So, this is where Peter starts. Be subject, for the Lord's sake, to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme or to the governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good. So, main idea again with what he's starting here is simply this. It goes with the first one, but saying it a little bit different. As Christians, we submit to human authority because we acknowledge the authority that's behind the authority. See, this is where I want you to get your mind to, because again, we focus on the authority that's in front of us, but Peter is telling us, he's saying, be subject to every human institution, not for the sake of the institution, not because the institution deserves it, but for the Lord's sake. For the Lord's sake, be subject to every human institution. And then he starts talking from a government standing here of the emperor as supreme or to governors. But we as Christians are called to submit, not again for the sake of the human, before God, acknowledging the authority behind the authority. See, Paul tells us in Romans 13, Paul tells us that there is no authority on earth. No authority, talking about governments in that same context. No authority except that which God has established. See, we have to understand Scripture for what it's saying here. It's saying no authority on earth, so that doesn't matter what the authority is. No matter what government system exists, it only exists by the authority of God. There is no authority except that which has been established by God. And as Christians, we acknowledge the authority based on the authority that's behind it. Because we are ultimately submitting to God. See, as we go through this, it's going to be hard. Because, especially as we talk about government, because nobody is ever going to agree 100% with the government. Ever. And there's constantly going to be stuff that we want to push back with the government, and that's why this is going to be hard. But one of the things I want to remind us as we go through this. Remember the context that Peter is writing into. Peter is writing into a context of Christians that are facing opposition and hardships. Christians that are going through persecutions. Christians that soon, when Nero comes into power, whether this is before or right at the beginning of it, at some point in time, Christians that are going to be facing a government, an emperor who puts out a ruling that Christians can be murdered for their faith. This is the context that Peter is writing into. And Peter is saying, for the Lord's sake, be subject to every human institution. And this is what we're going to be processing through this morning, is what that looks like, what it doesn't look like, why it's important, and honestly, the difficulty of it. He goes on and he says, for this is the will of God. So not only is it for the Lord's sake, but he's telling this is the will of God, that by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. When I process this, the first thing I think about is you think about ignorant people. To silence the ignorance of foolish people. When I think about foolish people, it goes back to Psalms. Psalms tells us that the fool says in his heart, there is no God. From a biblical standpoint, that's what a fool would be. A fool is someone that says there is no God. And Peter is telling us that by our submission, by our willingness to live as exiles, by our willingness to live different, to be different, to a watching world, that our actual submission allows people to see Jesus in us and to see that we live for a different kingdom than this one. See, there's something glorious that happens. That's why Peter's hitting on this. He's like, when people look at us as believers and they see how we live and how we submit and how we live at peace and how we live good lives and how we do this in a way that is honoring and respectful and loving and based on the gospel, it's going to silence the fool that says there's no God. Because they're going to look at us as Christians and say, there's something unbelievably different about those people. There's something amazingly different about those people. But see, this is where we start pushing back, and this is where I push back. Okay, submitting to authority, submitting to government, submitting to authority that is over me, but what about when that authority is unjust? What if when it's that authority is just wrong? I was convicted by this. Because I want to give us an example that's new. And okay, I'm going to say this. There is going to be some tension talking about this. Because when we start talking government, there's just tension. All right, so let's just get it out there that there's going to be some tension. But here's what I want us, I really ask us to do. Let's not set in our immediate response, like our gut level response. Let's just kind of think. Because here's the thing, this whole week, I've had to do this. Because here's the example that went through my head. And this is all fresh and new to us. So we all can relate to it. But I'm going to say it. I hate masks. Despise them. I was one of those guys, right? You can ask my, yeah. I mean, I was one of those guys. This is stupid. You can't tell me what to do, right? Now, it doesn't matter. That's still my opinion. I don't like it. Don't get me wrong. I don't like it. But here's the thing. When it comes scripturally, biblically, as a Christian, there's nothing unjust for the government to tell me I have to wear a mask. I might not like it. I might not agree with it. I might not even think it's the wisest thing to do. But as a Christian, I cannot stand upon this principle that says, you're asking me to do something that goes against being a good Christian, free American. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can't make that stance. There's nothing unjust about asking me to do something like that. Again, I might not like it. But it doesn't mean it's unjust authority. And that's where the rub starts coming, is because we want to assume that the things that the government asks us to do that we don't agree with, for some reason we're able to say, I don't have to submit to that. Again, if I had my way, I wouldn't pay as much taxes as I pay. Again, I don't like it. I don't agree with it. I don't like how my taxes get spent. but I'm called to submit. I'm called to submit. But here's the thing I want us to understand. There are moments, and there will be moments, when as Christians, we cannot submit to human authority. And that is when the human authority is calling us as Christians to go against God's authority. It's when the human authority asks us to do something that goes against the word of God. Then, as a Christian, I do not have to submit. I will not submit, because remember, my submission is based on the authority behind the authority. If the authority in front of me is trying to get me to disobey the ultimate authority, which is God, then I have a responsibility not to submit. So we can't read into what Peter's saying here and try to put more into it than what he's saying. He's not saying as Christians we just put our heads down and we just blindly follow everything that authorities over us tell us to do. He's not saying that, because we have to look at the Bible in its entirety. There's several examples in the Bible where believers did not follow human authority, the government, because it went against the will of God. We have examples like the midwives who were ordered to kill baby boys. If they're there and the woman gives birth to a boy, to murder that child instantly, and the midwives say, we can't do that. And they rebelled against the command of those that were in authority over them. We have Daniel, who was told that he couldn't pray, only to the king. He could only pray. And the first thing that Daniel did after he was told to do this is he went home, he opens up his windows, he kneels down, and he prays, going against the commands of the authority. We have examples also in Acts where the apostles, Peter himself, is taken and whipped and told, don't preach in this name. Do not preach in the name of Jesus. And the response back was, we cannot disobey God by obeying man. So there are times when Christians are called to not submit to authority, but it's only when it goes against the will and the word of God. And we're going to go deeper into this on why this is important, because God's going to use our submission for his glory when we choose to live the way he calls us to live. He goes on when he's talking about freedom. He's like, you know, live as people who are free. Again, don't read into that American ideas. He's not talking about your American freedom. He's not talking about your freedoms as a citizen of this amazing country that we live in. No, he's talking about the freedom that is yours through Jesus Christ. And he's saying, don't use your freedom as a cover-up for evil, where you go against how I want to use you in this world. The world is watching, and I desperately want to use you. That's what God's saying. He's like, I desperately want to use you for my glory and for my purposes. And I love the when you look at the wording here, because if you just look at that one sentence, live as people who are free, take out the rest, but living as servants of God. Peter's telling us you are free to be a servant. Isn't it interesting that that's the basis of our freedom? You are free to be a servant. You are freed to be a servant of God. And this whole topic of submission gets difficult, because this is where we come face to face with Jesus is Lord of our lives. Is Jesus truly the Lord of my life? Is he the one that I serve? Is he the one that I make my choices based off of? So then he goes on and he gives us four things. Peter goes on, he gives us four things. Four ways that, like, ways that we're supposed to do things when it comes to submission. He says, honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the emperor. So just think about this. Honor everyone. We are called as Christians, as followers of Jesus, as exiles, to give respect to everyone. That's just a broad statement. Give respect and honor to everyone. Treat everyone with respect. Treat everyone with honor. Treat everyone with grace. Treat everyone with mercy. As Christians, that's what I'm called to do. Whether they're an authority over me or not, I am called to honor all, because we are all created in the image of God. We are all, Jesus died for the sins of humanity. God loves all of us, so I am called to honor everyone. He goes on, love the brotherhood. Submit to one another in loving the brotherhood, that's being Christians. Honor everyone, but in the church, love. We're called to love the brotherhood based on our fear of God, our reverence of God, our respect for God, our awe of God. This is all based on that. And then he ends with that last one that just is, honor the emperor. Now I want you to think for a moment about the people that are in authority over us. And it's not just government. Think of this broader than that. This is all human institutions. And so this would be your boss. This would be, you know, if you're in school, this would be your teacher. This would be a coach. Anybody that's in authority over you, right? Jokingly, I was talking to Bob, and I said, yeah, my wife's my authority over me. She's not really, but... See, y'all don't see what I see. I jokingly was like, honey, next week we could talk about submission of wives. Awesome. So think about any authority that's over you. Again, coach, teacher, professor, boss, whatever it is, parent. Even those that we have, you know, if your parents are still living, and then kids, parents. Do you honor them? Think about this for a moment. Do you honor your boss? And what I mean by honor your boss is, you know, you might have a smile, but when you get around with the rest of the coworkers, you're like, that dude is a complete idiot. And then you have all the things that you have to say about him. Are you honoring the people in authority over you? See, this is where it gets hard because Peter is really challenging us. He's saying this is what we're called to as a Christian, not just in public for all to see, but truly to have an honor and a respect for those that are in authority over us. That we honor those that God has placed over us in some way. But see, that goes against our nature. Again, it goes against our nature, because as I'm reading this, the first thing that came into mind, I wrote this in my notes, is, yeah, but living like that, you're just going to be a sucker. Like, people are going to take advantage of you. Like, there's just certain things I don't want to submit to, because I'm not going to be taken advantage of. I'm not going to be seen as a person that someone can just walk all over. That's what you think. That's what I think about when I think about submitting to things, submitting to authority. No, I'm going to stand up for myself. I'm going to tell people why I don't disagree with them. I'm going to tell them why they're wrong. I'm going to be a burden in the side. You know, I'm going to be a thorn in the side of authority, because that's my right to do it. I don't want to be a sucker. But realize, God has called us not to be suckers, but he's called us to live as exiles. Remember, that's the whole theme of the letter. Be different, so that when the watching world looks at your life, they see someone that is completely different. And one of the ways we do that is through submission to authority. He goes on, and then he starts talking about something that we're gonna have to process through just for a minute. But he says, servants, be subject to your masters. Again, he's changing the theme here to servanthood and to masters, but he's still talking about the same thing. Submission to authority. He says, servants, be subject to your masters with all respect, not only to the good and the gentle, but also to the unjust. For this is a gracious thing. When mindful of God, one endures sorrow while suffering unjustly. For what credit is it if when you sin, you are beaten for it, you endure. But if when you do good and suffer, you endure it, this... Oh, where's the next one? Man, you gotta love that. The rest of it's not there. Mike, I submit to you as the authority over my PowerPoint. It's probably not his fault. I'm sure it's mine. So, you know, say here, if you endure it, but when you do good and suffering for the gracious thing in the sight of God, for this... you have been called, because Jesus also suffered for you, leaving an example so that you might follow in his steps. So here, he's changing the thought process here from government to servants and masters, or in some of your translations, it might even say slave. So we have to pause here just for a moment. We need to address two things real fast. Okay? First, it talks about getting a beating in this. Right? Let's go back. It's talking about getting a beating. When you read scripture and you hear things like this, please do not assume that the Bible is condoning getting a beating. I mean, the Bible is not condoning the treatment, but Peter is speaking into the reality of the culture that he's living in. Right? Because so when we hear that, it automatically should make us kind of have this rise in us. Because don't get me wrong, we live in a world that if we kind of compare this to servants and masters to, employee and boss, here's the thing. If my wife ever came home from a job and she ever said, man, I don't know what the boss's problem was, but he just like whooped me. Like, we're going to have a problem. Okay? Like, we don't live in that world. So don't read stuff like this and think that Peter is condoning the behavior, but he's speaking into the behavior. He's speaking into being treated unjustly. He's speaking about being treated unfairly. And that was a reality in that culture. Okay, and we can all agree, we can all understand that because we've all been in situations, I'm sure, where the authority over us has treated us unfairly. Where we have been treated in a way that was unjust. That we have been treated in a way that was hurtful and painful. In a way that we didn't like or the way that we wanted. That's what he's speaking into, is being treated in a way that we just don't want to be treated by someone that's an authority over us. The second thing we have to acknowledge real quick before we go through this is this concept of slavery. You hear slave and master. And again, let's just understand, this is not condoning slavery. The Bible does not condone slavery. Again, it's speaking into the culture in which they are living. And here's the thing we have to understand. Slavery has existed in every human culture since the beginning of time. It has always been. But we have to do is, as Americans, as Christians in America, when we hear these words, what ends up happening is we take the imagery and the understanding of slavery in our context and how it was in our nation, and we read that into Scripture, right? Because this is our understanding of slavery, is the slavery and the stain that is on our country that has been here, and we instantly read that into the Scripture, and that's not what we're supposed to do. We have to see the context for what it is. And slavery here, while, again, not condoning it, and while it was still not a good thing, and while it was still something that thankfully God has been able to change in our world, even though there are still millions of people that are dealing and living in some form of slavery, we have to understand that this slavery, what they're talking about here is a servant, is not a slave in the way that we normally think about slavery, but this would be more of a bond servant. A bond servant would be someone that owed a debt, or went into debt, or had a reason that they had something they had to pay off to the master in some way. Or this could have been a person that went and said, hey, I can't survive without this, so I'm going to offer my services to you. I'm going to offer myself as a servant to you until my debt is paid off. See, bond servants, or this type of servanthood, is not based on race. It's not generational, meaning it didn't mean that if I was a servant that my children would automatically be servants. Or if I was a slave, it didn't mean my children would automatically be slaves. And this type of servanthood was not for life. Again, that's the horrible type of slavery that we know. This idea that's based on race, it's based on the fact that it's for life, and it's based on every child you have is now mine too, and they're automatically a slave. That's not the type of slavery we're talking about. So we just have to clarify that for a moment, because I don't want us to read in what we know about slavery and automatically assume that's what it's talking about in Scripture. Again, it's still horrible. It's not condoning it. It's not saying it's a good thing. It's just speaking into the reality of the culture that these Christians found themselves living in. That's what we have here, is Peter speaking into the culture that he finds himself living in. And he's saying here that as a servant and in life, this is true for us, all of us, there will be times that we will endure unjust treatment, and how we respond to it ultimately brings glory to God. That's the point he's making here, is that Christian, in this human life, in this world, in authority, there will be times you will be treated unjustly. There will be times you will be treated unfairly. There will be times that it will feel, maybe not physically that you are being beaten, but emotionally, that you are just being beaten down by some authority that is over you. And Peter uses this terminology saying, that's a gracious thing. Because he knows, Peter knows, that how we respond as Christians can ultimately bring glory to God. See, my response as a human is I want to respond with anger and hatred and revenge. I want to speak out. I want to lash out. We live in a world that says, if you hurt me, I'm going to hurt you. If you wound me, I'm going to hurt you. We live in this concept, and we try to use the Bible as the way to defend it. Eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth. I have the right to revenge. But Jesus, taking that same passage of Scripture, said, turn the other cheek. Because when we choose as Christians the best that we can, when we are treated unfairly, when we are mistreated, when we find ourselves being treated unjustly, when we can allow ourselves to not respond in anger and hatred and revenge and a vile attitude and a hateful attitude, but instead we can respond in mercy and grace and love and forgiveness, the watching world will notice. Doesn't mean they're going to get it automatically, but they're going to look at you and say, why do you live the way that you live? And that's what Peter's talking about, is as exiles, we are called to live in a way that the watching world looks at us and says, there's something different about you. Again, Peter is not condoning the treatment. He's not saying it's fair to be treated unjustly. He's not saying that it's great that you're going to have to go through those things. But what he's saying is God can use it to bring himself glory through our response, by submitting to authority in honor and respect, even when we're treated unjustly. Let me give you an example from Scripture. So you have, this isn't Peter, but you have Paul, and you have him out preaching the gospel, and Silas is with him. And if you know the story, they get arrested and they get beaten for proclaiming the gospel. And so when you think about beating, this wasn't just, you know, they got beat for proclaiming the gospel, and they're thrown into prison. Again, not this comfortable little prison. They're probably thrown in a cell, locked up in chains, on the wall. Not a nice experience. And here they are being treated by the authorities unjustly. They didn't do anything wrong. They didn't do anything wrong, but they were being treated unfairly by the authorities. And what was Paul and Silas's response? They were singing praises to God while chained in a prison. And not only that, this is what's amazing about it, is God shows up. And God breaks the chains off of them. And God, you know, the doors fling open. God gives them a clear path to leave the unjust treatment. God says, you can walk out right now. And here's the thing, they stayed there. The jailer comes in and he runs in and he sees the chain, the doors open, and the first thing he thinks is, oh, everyone's escaped, and he takes the knife and he gets ready to kill himself, because that's ultimately what's going to happen, because he's failed in his duties and he's getting ready to kill himself. And Paul cries out and he says, don't do it. We're still here. We're submitting to the authority. We're still here. We didn't deserve to be here. We don't deserve the beating. We didn't deserve to be chained up. We don't deserve any of this. We're still here. We're submitting to the authority. And here's the beautiful part. Paul's like, we're doing it because by our response, it can lead you to Jesus. And the story goes that that's what happens. The jailer when he sees the response of Paul and Silas, when he sees the response of these men that weren't sitting in the prison, speaking out hate and speaking out all these defense of themselves and speaking out how they wanted revenge and thinking about how they were talking about how they're being treated unfairly, but instead they gave worship to God, saying praise to God. Scripture tells us that the jailer and his entire family come to know Jesus because of the watching world. Had their eyes on Paul and Silas. And I was thinking about this, and I love that Peter's the one telling us, because you got to remember Peter. Peter's the one telling us to submit to authority, and Peter's the dude that cut a guy's ear off. Like, you can see the heart change in Peter. Peter was the hothead that when they came for Jesus, pulled out the sword and just, either he had really bad aim or really good, I don't know. But he took off a guy's ear. I mean, this was a guy that definitely was like, I am not submitting to authority. And now there's this heart change in him. And he's saying, even when you're mistreated, even when you're mistreated unfairly and unjustly, your submission, your ability to not respond in the flesh of anger and vileness, but instead in mercy and forgiveness and love, man, it shows people Jesus. Because here's the thing, our submission, it grows and it comes from the gospel. The reason, when we understand this, the fact that we can submit even when we're being treated unjustly, even when it hurts, even when it's unfair, when we understand the gospel, we can see that our submission truly comes from the gospel. Because Peter goes on and he says this, "For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps." Now notice what he says. He basically tells us the gospel. Peter goes on and he finishes telling us the gospel. He committed no sin. Neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sin in his body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. How are we able to submit to authority? And how are we able to submit to authority when it's unfair and it's hurtful at times and it's unjust? We're able to do that when we remember and we acknowledge that Jesus did it first. Jesus did it first. Jesus, the one that had no sin. No deceit was in his mouth. I mean, here's Peter trying to tell us, of everyone that's ever walked the planet, the one person that did not deserve to be mistreated took on the ultimate mistreatment to the point of taking on the wrath of God. He submitted himself to authority for the sake of us. That's what Peter's saying here. He's saying, do you not understand that Jesus submitted to authority? Human authority. I mean, this just blows my mind. Think about this. Think about human beings putting their hands on the Son of God, thinking they had control over him. I mean, Jesus even called him out on this. He's like, listen, if I wanted to be free of this, I could call down the armies of heaven right now. You have no authority. No authority. But he submitted to evil authority of mankind to the point of going to the cross and taking the wrath of God upon himself for us. He submitted for us. So here's the question we have to wrestle with as Christians as we live as exiles. Are we willing to submit? Even in times when it's hard and it hurts and it's difficult for the sake of someone else. People are watching. Remember, Peter says Jesus gave us an example to follow in his steps. Jesus submitted for us. Are we willing to submit for others? and allow our lives to be a witness to the power and the truth of the gospel, that we're not living for this kingdom. We're not living for the here and now. We're not living for the best life here. We're living for a kingdom of eternity, a kingdom of God, because we're exiles. Jesus gave us the ultimate example on the cross. While he's being mistreated, while they're screaming insults at him, while they're reviling him and doing this, and they're just throwing hate at him the entire time he's on the cross, Jesus utters the words, "Father, forgive them." No spirit of vengeance, no spirit of hatred, but only a spirit of mercy and forgiveness. We are called to live as best we can under his power to be exiles and do the same thing. He ends with the, you know, kind of summarizing this and reminding us of who we are. He's like, "By his wounds you have been healed, for you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." Again, Peter is ending this section talking about submitting to the authorities over us, and he's reminding us of that same theme throughout this. He's saying, remember, this is what you were, but now this is who you are. That's been the theme throughout the entirety of 1 Peter so far, is him reminding us, this is who you were, but because of me, this is now who you are. Because of what Jesus has done, you can now stand here and say, I used to be a straying sheep. I used to be someone that was wounded. I used to be someone that was broken, someone that was empty, that had no purpose in life. I used to be someone lost in my sin, lost in darkness, no hope. But Peter has told us throughout the entirety of the letter so far things like this. You have a living hope. You have an inheritance kept for you in eternity. You are precious to God. You are guarded by God. You're a living stone in the house of God. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. You are God's possession. He's reminding us you used to be, but now you are. Here's the thing that struggles for me. It's a struggle. I don't want to make it sound like this is easy. I don't want to stand up here and make it sound like it is easy to submit to authority. Please don't assume that. If at any point in time this came across like this should just be a light switch and it's just perfect, I'm submitting to authority. It's not. And if I ever came across in any way that made it sound like that, then I did wrong with that, because it is not easy at all. In fact, if you want to get just real straightforward with it, to submit the way that God calls us to submit is actually, it's miraculous. Like, it has to have an intervention by God himself for us to do this. Like, it is a glorious thing. That's why Peter talks about the way he does. It is a glorious thing. It is a miraculous thing to submit, especially in the midst of unfair and unjust treatment. It is hard to be forgiving when everything in you wants to lash out. It is hard to show mercy when everything you're getting in return is not mercy. It is not easy. But again, remember that it's based on the fact that God did a miraculous work in saving us. He submitted for me. He submitted for you. And he asks us, are you willing to submit, even when it's hard, for the sake of someone else? This all begins with us accepting the fact that God is not asking us to do anything that he has not done himself. We must accept that we are not the first to be called to submit. Jesus did it first. And he did it for us because he loves us and he wants us. And he wants to use you in how you choose to live in this world as an exile. He has empowered you. As we leave, just leave with these thoughts when it comes to submission. And if you sit there and say, I don't know if I can do this. Well, you're right, you can't. I can't without the empowerment of God. And God tells me I can do all things through Christ. Because he has given me the example. And he's called me to follow in his steps. I can do all things when I walk the path that he has called me to walk through him. Let's pray. Father God, I will acknowledge again, Lord, there are so many aspects of that passage of Scripture that are hard for me. Lord, it is. It's hard. And I don't ever want to deny that it is. But Lord, as we leave this place today and as we think about this and submitting to authority and submitting to those that are over us and doing it, Lord, in times when it's just extremely hard, Lord, I want us to remember, let me remember, not look at the authority in front of me, but Lord, going back to the first point, that we look at the authority behind the authority. Lord, my submission to worldly and human institutions is never based on them. It's based on my devotion and my submission to you. Lord, may our heart's desire be to bring you glory in all things. May our heart's desire be to proclaim the gospel with our lives so that the watching world, when people look in at us and they see how we choose to live, Lord, through our submission, through our ability to forgive and to speak with honor and respect and love and to treat people the way they deserve to be treated because they are created in your image, Lord. When people see that choice in us, Lord, may you use that to advance your gospel and win people to you. May we understand our submission can be done for the sake of someone else. Lord, we give you praise. Jesus, thank you so much for your willingness to submit for me. Thank you so much that my salvation is based on the fact that you were willing to submit to the authority that was in front of you because you're ultimately submitting to the Father. We give you praise in all of it and just fill us with that reality and that life as we leave this place. In your name we pray. Amen.